It is time once again for Open Court with Fairfield basketball coach Chris Casey. Along with the coach, I'm Bob Huesler, joined by my broadcast partner of 19 years, the former Fairfield great Hall of Famer Joe DeSantis. And we sit down with Chris as the Stags get ready for the final weekend of the regular season. This past weekend, Fairfield swept its Connecticut rivals. They beat Sacred Heart at Mahoney Arena and beat Quinnipiac on the road. So Fairfield has won 7 of 9. They are 18-11 as we speak to you, 10-8 in the MAC. A reminder that the player edition of Open Court this time around will feature Stags guard Eric Mejia as Joe and I chat with the sophomore out of Washington Heights, New York. And we'll start there, Chris. You got a great performance out of Eric on Sunday against Quinnipiac, and we'll talk about him in a moment, but he got the start because of an injury to Buddy Williams, your outstanding freshman point guard. Can you give us the latest on Buddy? What was the injury, and how is he looking as we speak to you today?
Yeah, well, long story short, you know, Tony got banged up a little bit in the Sacred Heart game, kept him out a little bit of practice, and then as we approached the game, started to feel better. It was a game-time decision whether to start him and play him, and we kind of decided, let's see how the game unfolds and see if we need to put him in there. There were some moments that we might have been able to, but I felt like the game was unfolding, you know, in a manner where we didn't absolutely need to. And, you know, his health is important to me. You know, I want to make sure that he's healthy and feeling good. So he's back practicing this week and has had good practices. So I expect him to be at full strength for this weekend.
That's good news. And as you well know, Fairfield fans held their collective breath. They saw Brandon Benjamin leave the court Sunday at Quinnipiac. He was holding his side. He tried to come back into that game. He made a go of it, but then had to head back to the bench. And just wondering if you could give us an update on Brandon.
Yeah, it was kind of the same thing, except it happened in game. You know, I almost would sync it up with the same thing I said about Tony. You know, he could have gone back in more in that second half, but you know, his health is important, and I didn't feel like, you know, he's a tough kid, but I didn't feel like he was moving. And he wasn't moving like Brandon moves.
Yep.
So, and I thought the game was unfolding in such a way where, not that we didn't need him because we always need him, but I felt like, you know, let's see how this continues to unfold here and, you know, and factor in his health too at the same time. And, you know, we did that in the second half. He did play a little bit in the second half, but, you know, the way the game went, our bench played outstanding, and there really wasn't a moment to throw him back in there, if you will.
So in modern-day parlance, he has a lower body injury, and we'll call him day-to-day. Is that a fair assessment?
Well, he's back practicing. So, you know, I expect him for this weekend, but we'll see how that goes.
Got it. All right, so Eric gets the start at point guard at Sunday. He has his best game as a Stag. 16 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals. Got to the free throw line, made them 6 out of 7 from the free throw line. What impressed you the most about that performance? On short call, he gets the start, he responds. I know it didn't take you by surprise, but what were some of the things that said made you say, wow, okay, this is Eric Mejia, and this is kind of, you know, what he's capable of doing?
Yeah, it didn't take me by surprise at all. I mean, he was good in the Sacred Heart game too. Yeah. You know, the game before, he played extremely well. And he's had moments like this where he's played extremely well. You know, I almost put Eric in the same category as the freshman. You know, he was an outstanding junior college player. And I don't mean this in the wrong way about junior college. There's some great junior college programs, and Monroe is certainly one of them. But it's always a jump when you're going from that to the Division I level, especially in the MAC where the guards are very good. So he almost falls in that same category as the 4 freshmen that we start. You know, it's his first year of Division I basketball, and it takes a minute. It takes a minute to figure it out. It takes a minute to learn what we're doing. It takes a minute to get comfortable. And I think during this second half of the season, he's become more and more comfortable and become more and more assertive on the offensive end. He's always been good defensively, but more and more assertive on the offensive end. And we keep encouraging him to do that, and he's got more in him. So he was terrific against Quinnipiac. He made some big plays, got us off to a good start. And you know, the thing I love about him is this versatility there, because you can play him on the ball as a point guard, and you can play him off the ball too. And we did both on Sunday, and it helped us. So, you know, really pleased with what Eric did.
Chris, not starting Deuce instead of Mejia, did that have something to do with leaving Sparks off the ball? Because Sparks would have had to probably move to the ball.
Yeah, the thought process, it's a good point, Joe. And the thought process going into the game was basically to rotate those three guys in the two spots, the 1-2 spot, because all three of them can play on the ball and all three can play off the ball. And I wanted to try to leave Braden off the ball as much as possible, not because he can't play the point, he's terrific at it, but more so because he's gotten so comfortable with playing off the ball and scoring for us. So I wanted to try to do that. So that's a good point, and the answer to that is yes.
You talked about his effectiveness as a defender, Coach. Still speaking here about Eric Mejia, who, again, we remind you, is our guest on the Player Edition this week. But what makes him a good defender, and is that something that when you brought him into the program, you thought would be one of the stronger elements of his game?
Yeah, because he's a tough kid, he's competitive, and he's got some physicality to him. He's a guy, and in today's game, you have to be able to do this. You have to be able to guard the ball and absorb contact from the offensive player who puts his shoulder into you on drives without giving up ground. And our league, you know, if you watch our league, there's a lot of that goes on, and we let them play through it. And Eric's pretty good at that. Like, he can guard the ball, he can absorb contact, hold his ground. He rebounds the ball at that guard spot for us. He's improving off the ball. You know, that's something that we work on all the time with him, especially, you know, when you're off the ball on ball screen coverage. And he's improving there, too. So he's a very coachable young man, and he works very, very hard, and he wants to be good, and he wants to win. So, you know, whatever you give him, he does his best to try to execute it.
He certainly did that as a starter on Sunday at Quinnipiac. And Joe already asked you about the decision involving Eric and Deuce Turner with Buddy Williams sideline for that game. Deuce did come in off the bench again. He has really absorbed that role now very well. He had a really good game, 14 points. He was 7-for-7 from the free throw line on a day that you really got into the paint well against Quinnipiac. A couple of assists, a couple of steals for Deuce. Here's where I'm going with this, Coach. When Deuce is productive, the Stags almost always win. And by productive, I'm going by point totals, which is a slice of what a player contributes. But he has scored in double figures 12 times this season. 11 of those 12 times, Fairfield has won. So that's an 11-1 record when he has double figures or better. Coincidence, not a coincidence? What do you make of that? And I guess the ultimate question is, are we going to be seeing this Deuce Turner the rest of the way in the money round of the MAC?
Yeah, I think you will, Bob. I mean, you know, at some point you start realizing it's coming close to the end, which it is. The season has flown by, and you are correct. When he scores on the perimeter for us, we put ourselves in a good chance to win a game, and we need him to do that, and that's, you know, that's been something that we've talked about all year with our team, too, and we talk about in the podcast. When you can get another guy in a perimeter to score the ball consistently, it helps Braden, it helps our team. And when he does that, it certainly gives us better chance to win the game. It gives us more bench points, too, which is important. You know, we've had games where our bench was outstanding against Quinnipiac. They were really good against Sacred Heart. And then we've had some games where we don't necessarily put up points. So you got to get some production from that bench. And the bench has been much better lately, and he's been a big part of that. And he gives you a little bit of pop offensively off the bench, which is something you want.
Well, let's stick with the production you got from the bench. Sacred Heart and Quinnipiac, definitely. That was a huge factor. Isaac Moncotti in that Quinnipiac game was outstanding. And it may be sort of easier to overlook him this season because of the emergence of your really great freshman bigs, Brandon and Declan. How much better a player is Isaac right now than he was even a month or two ago?
He's definitely better. And you don't, like you said, you don't get a chance to see it as much with, you know, Brandon and Declan playing really well. But, you know, one of the things we preach all the time is you have to, and every coach does this, but the bottom line is you need good people that'll do it, because you can't get in kids' shoes and do it for them. Treat every practice like you're playing a game, and work like you're playing a game, and work like you're playing 40 minutes in the next game. And he does that all the time. He's very competitive in practice. And, you know, we have a saying, when we push your button, you got to be ready to go. And we pushed his button for that Quinnipiac game, and he was ready to go. And it had nothing to do with me or the coaches or anybody else other than Isaac. You know, he's a high-character young man, and he practices like he's going to play a lot. And so when we needed him the most, he was ready to go, and he produced.
I don't want to jump ahead and talk about Ryan Zahn, because I think Bob probably had that in his arsenal there. But so you made it clear Benjamin is back practicing. You didn't say this, but I'm thinking he's going to play. Is there a part of you that's concerned about his health? Maybe not going to get the minutes. Are you now looking at developing like a three-man rotation like you did with Butter being out with Zahn, Moncotti? Do you sit down with your staff or you sit down with Zahn, Moncotti and say, hey, look, you got opportunity now? Or is everything just stay status quo with your feeling about you got to practice every day like he's playing? Or you got to play every day like he's
yeah,
practicing?
Yeah, there's a lot of questions there. Let me see if I can remember them all at once.
I tend to do that.
And I tend to not be good at remembering them all. So, you know. But no, those are all good questions, Joe, and good points. So I'll give you a couple things. I don't need to sit down really with Ryan and Isaac and talk about, you know, the opportunity they're going to get right now, because that's preached to them, you know, almost on a daily basis to every guy, to treat practice like a game and be ready when we ask you to be ready. And they do practice like that, so they'll both be ready. And Ryan's another guy that's really played well of late. So that's part answer to your question. In terms of concern about, you know, who's hurt, who's not hurt, obviously I want everybody healthy, you know, and our trainer is fantastic. Lauren does a great job, and she's a great communicator with me and lets me know, you know, this is where we're at. She does a lot of extra work with our guys to make sure they're healthy and they can get on the court. And if there's a question about it, you know, we kind of push it up to game time and see how it goes. In terms of concern about it, you know, I really try to not overthink or over be concerned about things that I don't control. You know, because I think it just clouds what you do. So going into a game, if there's a couple guys questionable, I'll have a plan for whether they're going and then whether they're not going. And then when we get to game time, if they're going, we'll go to plan A. And if they're not going, we'll go to plan B. But I try not to let it, you know, cloud my thinking or be overly concerned about it.
Yeah, so I'm going to make it quick this time. If Benjamin can't go, Zahn, who's played mostly four, could he be a backup five?
He has played backup five. Okay. In fact, if you look at that just recently, a Sacred Heart game on the road, you know, Brandon had some foul trouble. Isaac then got some foul trouble, and Ryan played the five and helped us a lot. And he played some five in that Quinnipiac game too, because Isaac got in some foul trouble. Brandon was hurt. And we actually, towards the end of that first half, we played him at the five with Mike Rogan at the four. So, you know, there's things in place for when that stuff happens. You hope it doesn't. But, you know, over the course of practices and over the course of practices during the year, you're trying to get guys reps at different spots. So you're kind of prepared for anything. And then they're also prepared for it, and they feel a little more comfortable if you call on them in an emergency situation.
You are now 6-1 against MAC teams when you see them the second time around, and that means you've avenged a lot of your early season MAC losses. Just wondering if you could give us an answer to the question, what is the key to that particular pattern of success?
I don't know if there's a key, Bob. You know, it's going to sound like coach speak, but honestly, I don't really pay attention to any of that stuff. I try to really focus on our guys getting individually and collectively better. I think you can control some of that as a coach. So I really stress that with our guys. We stress in practice. I do think the early part of our schedule didn't match the stage that our team was as far as development goes. Mm-hmm. You know, so I thought that had an effect on us. But to credit to our kids, they just kept their head down and kept working. And, you know, when you do that and you stack up good days, you're going to get better. And at some point, it's going to give you some results. And, you know, our guys have done a good job with that, and they've gotten themselves some results.
Well, I can get specific with one of the earlier season losses that you avenged. There was a game you just played against Quinnipiac. And, again, this may be a small sample size of why you won that game. But against Quinnipiac this past Sunday, you took only 12 three-pointers. And in this game, in the win, you did an unbelievably good job finishing at the rim. On your two-point shots, you were 61% as opposed to 37% on the two-point shots in the first game against them, which you lost. That's a real contrast. So the question would be, you know, you didn't have nearly as many three-point attempts. You took it to the rim fantastically well. Was that the game plan going in this time around against Quinnipiac, or was it just the way the game played out?
I think a little bit of both, Bob. You know, in that first game, they also blocked 12 shots, which is going to affect your two-point percentage. And you're correct, our two-point percentage and our finishing at the rim was not good in that first game. In this second game, you know, there was not a plan necessarily to not shoot three-point shots. There was more of a plan to attack the rim and finish, you know, with an emphasis on finishing. And we did a much better job of that. I think we were, you know, we chart that kind of stuff. I think we were 70% at the rim in that game. And we got to the rim a significant amount of time. So I thought that helped us a lot. And part of that, too, was they really, like, if you watch the second half of that game, especially, they really got after us defensively on the ball. And we always talk about, yeah, we want to run offense, but if a guy's going to be in you and passing lanes are choked, put the ball on the floor. That just means there's driving gaps and go play basketball. Mm-hmm. So we did some of that. I thought we also got out in transition a little bit, which helped us in the first half and helped us get to the rim some. So I think all those things incorporating to us being better in the paint.
Speaking about just being better generally, you began the season 0-4 in the MAC, so that means you are 10-4 over your last 14 conference games. So again, just generally speaking, from a coaching perspective, the biggest differences between that team that started the season 0-4 in the MAC and the team that is now seemingly coming together here in late February?
I think our defense has improved to some degree. It's not exactly where I'd like it, but I think our guys are bought into, you know, working on it and getting better at it. So I think our defense has shown some improvement. I think offensively, the ball is moving better than it did in the beginning of the MAC season. You know, so I would say probably those two things. And then the third thing I would say is our guys have done a really good job of staying together. You know, it's a good character group, and, you know, that unity aspect is that's a big part of it. You know, and I feel like if you look at our bench and you look at the way we carry ourselves, our guys are, for the most part, for each other, and that's what you want to be. So I would say those things primarily. I don't know if there's any we didn't make any technical change or, you know, drastic change to what we were doing to get to that. It was more just an emphasis of, you know, trying to get better every day.
Okay, you have a couple of home games coming up to finish out the regular season. I know you're looking no further than Siena, although that Mount St. Mary's game is looming as a big one, but I'll repeat what I just said. It's Siena next, so that's really all you're consumed with at the moment. So they beat you back on January 19th up there in Albany, 85-77. What needs to change this time around against the Saints?
Well, first of all, they're a very good team. They're mature. They got some returners. Doty's very, very good. Schultz is having a good year. You know, they did a good job. We didn't get enough stops early in that game. I thought early in that game we scored the ball really well. Mm-hmm. We're not able to stop them. And then in the second half of that game, they kind of stretched the lead out a little bit on us. We did make a run back. I think it might have been 6 or 7 with about 5-6 minutes to go. So we were in the vicinity, but we could just never get a handle on them. I thought they did a good job of making some tough shots, particularly Doty and Schultz. You know, so I don't know if there's a lot that has to change. I think we have to defend better. We have to rebound the ball defensively a little bit better. They're a good offensive rebounding team. I think our handoff coverage and our ball screen coverage has to be better against them. They got loose on that a few times, so we have to be better with that. And then offensively, I thought when we got behind, I didn't think our possessions were very good. I thought they were rushed, you know, and that wasn't necessarily, you know, a selfishness thing. That was, you know, wanting to make a play and get us back, but you can't score 6-7 points on one possession. So I thought we kind of got a little out of character offensively with the ball. And some of that's to their credit because they're good defensively too. So I would say those are the things that'll be important in the game on Friday.
Have you taken a peek at Mount St. Mary's? You haven't played them this year. I mean, that all of us in this room know how important that game could be in terms of seeding going into the MAC tournament. So is there anything about Mount that has impressed you as you get ready for them on Sunday?
I haven't watched them.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Yeah, I haven't watched them. I don't know their roster. I don't know what they do offensively, defensively. That's not something I'm going to pay attention to until very, very early in the morning on Saturday.
Yeah.
That's when I'll take a look at
it.
How
do you roll that out? Take us through the steps. You're getting ready for Siena as we speak to you on Wednesday. You play them on Friday, but then, as you said, you wake up what time on Saturday to start you, I'm talking about, to get ready for Mount?
Now, honestly, you want to know that answer?
I
don't like talking about that because I don't like anybody
4 a.m.
to think that I'm like, you know, patting myself on the back because I'm not like that. But basically, yeah, I'll get up at about 4.
Yeah.
I'll try to be in the office by about 5. I'll watch our tape, clip it, put it together for our guys to see so we can have about 20 minutes of film on the previous game. And then I'll dive into Mount, watch them. I won't have a game that we've played against them to watch. I'll usually watch that. There isn't one, so I'll just watch them offensively, defensively, really dive in on their roster, personnel, look at some nuanced things like what are they doing on ball screen coverage, what are they doing on baseline out of bounds, what are they doing on side out of bounds, things like that. Get a good handle on that, write up what I think practice should be at that point, and then following that, I'll meet with whoever's doing the scout, which is Matt Scott at this point. So Matt and I will meet after that. We'll spend an hour going through what his thoughts are, what he's recommending, and et cetera. And then we'll alter the practice a little bit that I've written up at that point. Then following that, we'll meet as a staff. We'll go over our practice. We'll talk about the game the night before, some things that we thought were good, some things we need to fix. And then following that, I'll go out with the shell team before practice, who will run some of Mount's stuff. We'll run some shell drill stuff to kind of emphasize what they do that we want to take away. And then we'll have the practice. And then hopefully I'll be able to go get something to eat after that.
Well, actually, you covered what I was wondering, you know, to what degree does and what assistant, what type of input they have to the scout. But you just went over it. So I just want to let you know, Saturday morning I'll be up at 4 a.m. too, but I'll be running to the bathroom at that time. Hopefully being able to get back to sleep.
Joe will take you out to Duchess.
No, nope.
Now, that Mount game is senior day, and we're going to talk about all of the players that are going to be leaving the program at a later podcast. But I do want to ask you about one right now because he's had a great season, and that would be Braden Sparks. And I know there was a little bit of, not confusion, but some people were wondering if he actually had another year of eligibility, but I've been told no. You can probably back me up on that. So we'll be saying so long to Braden this coming weekend at Mahoney Arena. And then hopefully he has a long run in Atlantic City. But what has he meant to you these 2 years that he's been in the program? We've gotten to know him a little bit. Great guy, so we don't need to belabor that. But from a coaching perspective, what can you tell us about Braden?
I would say a couple things, Bob. You know, in any endeavor that you go into, in this case we're talking about basketball, you can apply it to the business world. You can apply it to anything you want. It's so important to have everyday guys around you and everyday guys who have both feet in the circle and are on the same page and trying to accomplish the same things that you are. And that's what he is. I mean, he is absolutely an everyday guy. The young man's demeanor doesn't change from day to day, whether we've won, lost. When we lose, it stings him. You know, you can tell that. But he's coming every day with the same attitude, the same work ethic, the same leadership. And because of that, along with the extra work that he puts in, he's turned himself into what I think could be the best guard in the league. The season he's having is outstanding. If you look at his numbers and you compare him to some other seasons of some of the great guards that have played here at Fairfield, and there are a bunch of them, he's right up there in those numbers. And he remains humble. He remains hardworking. He remains about his team. You know, if I had a son, I'd want him to be him. You know, he's just a wonderful young man. And It's, you know, Joe, you know this from doing it. Like, one of the great things to me about coaching is just watching a young man grow and develop and turn into something. That's I have a lot of fun with that. And he's certainly done that. So he's brought me a lot of joy just watching him do that. And then, obviously, he's having a great year and made some big shots. So I like that part of it, too. But he's just an everyday guy.
And that kind of sets me up for – I'm going to do a little bit of a twist here. I'm going to throw this at Joe and then let you react to what Joe has to say. Braden Sparks, in my humble opinion, first team All-Mac. Brandon Benjamin not only deserves Rookie of the Year, with all due respect to Kevier Kennedy at Merrimack, Brandon Benjamin should be the Rookie of the Year in the MAC, and I think he should also be first team. This is me speaking. I said I'd leave it up to Joe to react. But Declan Walker-Fenwick also All-Rookie Team and All-MAC performer as well. Joe, your reaction to that, and then you can bounce it over to Chris.
Well, it's so funny. I have that on my list of questions here about, you know, when you were going to throw it to me. Is this the part of the podcast where I have
my
last
Yeah, we can do two
okay.
for one, yeah.
All right. So I wanted you to make an argument for Sparks, Benjamin to be first team, possibly player of the year, and Walker-Fenwick, obviously, All-Rookie Team. But – do you also, and you know, I'm going to get coach speak, Bob, but I have to ask this. Do you realize what you have done? Bob had mentioned you were 0-4 in the MAC. You've won 10 of the last 14. You're 11-3 at home. 10-3, games decided by six or less. You've won the last six. Okay? Now, in saying that, you were picked eighth. But if the rest of the coaches knew that you were starting four freshmen, you would have been picked 14th.
That's true.
And there's only 13 teams right. in the league. So do you ever sit back? Here, we're going to get a coach speak answer. With your wife, you know, dinner in Milford, and say, boy, I've really made this team into a good team.
The answer to that is no. And it's not.
You knew.
But, you know, in all honesty, Joe, and this isn't coach speak, I really don't care if anybody knows who I am. I really don't. I just – my conversations with my wife.
How about the guys that sign your checks?
Well, I don't even know who signs the checks. They get direct deposited, so I have no idea on that. And I don't see them because my wife handles them. But in all honesty, like, my conversations with my wife, and she's great, because are not about, you know, hey, we've been able to do this. My conversations are more about, hey, how do I get this guy playing better? How do I do this? How do I do that? You know, how do we get better? That's more what I talk about. So, you know, I appreciate all those comments, and I really don't pay attention to them. You know, what I really want to do is, this school is extremely supportive. Fans, students, the administration here, extremely supportive. I want to see them win a MAC championship. I want to see our players win a MAC championship. I want to see our fans win a MAC championship. I want to see my family win a MAC championship. When you coach, your family goes through the highs and lows right with you. So, you know, those are more the things that I think about and pay attention to. As far as those three young men that you mentioned, you know, I think their numbers speak for themselves and make an argument for themselves about where they belong. They're certainly worthy of postseason recognition, all three of them. What level? You know, that's not for us to decide, because that's voted amongst all the coaches in the league. We'll certainly make a push for all three of them. Drew does a great job with that, and he'll push for all three of them. Where they land is going to be determined in the voting. But in my mind, the three of them have had outstanding seasons and are worthy of significant postseason recognition.
All right, Joe, you did take care of your mm-hmm. final words there in that final rundown. And, Coach, we'll talk to you again post-MAC tournament. So, first of all, good luck this weekend in closing out. It's been a great season at Mahoney Arena, a great home record, and looking to end it with a couple of wins against Siena and Mount St. Mary's. But we'll see you down in Atlantic City as we hope for a nice deep run and getting you all the way to that Tuesday night in Atlantic City. But things are pointing in the right direction. Good luck keeping it going.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate that. Thank you, Joe.
That'll do it for this edition of Open Court with Chris Casey. And again, a reminder, we ask you to watch for the drop of the Open Court Player Edition, this time around with Eric Mejia. Next up for the Stags, Friday night against Siena, and then Sunday afternoon against Mount St. Mary's, a pair of home games to close out the regular season for the Stags. And as mentioned, our next edition of Open Court will be the post-MAC tournament edition. So for Chris Casey, for the Fairfield Hall of Famer Joe DeSantis, for our main man here all season long, providing the stats, the information, and occasionally his engineering expertise, Drew Kinsley. So for Joe DeSantis, I'm Bob Huesler. We thank you for listening to Open Court.